Boy, that's a great song. He is here. Hallelujah. If you have a Bible, turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Pop goes the weasel. No, that's okay. That's a good Christian song. Amen. 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 Oh, the Lord's so good. It's so good to know the Lord and then to be with other people that know the Lord. The fellowship is just wonderful. One verse in Acts chapter 4. It's a great book in the Bible all about Paul's missionary journeys. Lots of people getting saved, finding Christ as their Savior, finding out what the gospel really is. But just one verse today. This is verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, Acts 4:12. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And let's bow our heads and pray. Our Father, we so appreciate your word to us. Thank you for the Savior and thank you for his death, where he paid the penalty of our sin. May, Lord, that really stir us today. I pray that you'd guide each heart. May your will be accomplished. May you be glorified in everything today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Saved, it's a Bible term. We'll see it a number of times as we go through the message. But it means preserved from evil, injury, or destruction, prevented, spared. When you talk about Bible salvation, we find that we're forgiven of all of our sins. There's no more judgment on us. And one day we're going to be with the Lord in heaven forever. It's like a rags to riches story. Amen. And anybody that's been saved, you know, when you accept Christ as your Savior, your life changes. It is a life-changing thing that we do. In Isaiah 64 and verse 6, the Bible says, but we are all as an unclean thing. You know, there's so many verses that say the same thing. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. That's why Christ died for the whole world. God so loved the world that he gave his son. So anybody can be saved, but we have a sin debt to pay, and either the Lord has paid it for us or we have to pay it ourselves. But it says, we are all as an unclean thing and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of his sins according to the riches of his grace. There's the rags to riches story in two verses. We're clothed in his righteousness. God made him to become sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So he took our sin and we take his righteousness. When God looks at us, he sees his son. Amen. So we're covered in the blood, we're forgiven, and that is a rags to riches story. Salvation's a life-changing experience because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. God does the work. It is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. When you receive Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit changes your heart. It's a blessing. The Bible talks about it in so many ways. We're clothed in his righteousness. Our life is like a tale that is told, the psalmist says. So you can go back to the day that you were saved and be born again. Amen. That's a new birth. And as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. And then we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We learn more about him. We learn more about the Bible. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And so we're all maturing. I don't know, whenever you've been saved, I've been saved quite a few years. I got saved when I was 21 years old. I've been saved 6 years now. And, well, maybe seven. And I've been saved quite a while. Amen. And you learn more about the Lord all the time. And he's more precious. More precious the more you learn. We're called Christians, believers, children of God, partakers of the divine nature. In Romans 5:9, it says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We're saved. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, but the good works don't get us saved. We're not saved by works. We're saved by grace and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I looked up some things and studied a little bit about this, about some of the things that, in life that people have been saved from, rescued from. And one that I thought was really beneficial to see the illustration of, there was a nearly suicidal raid that freed more than 500 prisoners of war. This happened in World War II. After the Bataan Death March, you might be familiar with some of this. These prisoners were put in a Japanese prison camp, and the Army Rangers raided this place and freed the prisoners. It's called the Great Raid. You can look it up in history. And they were willing to give their lives, and many of them did, but they freed all of these prisoners and showed some pictures. They had some pictures published about it, and everybody's happy. You know, they had been mistreated, they had been beaten, they had been starved, all the different things that happened in a prison war camp during World War II. But then they were freed, they were saved, they were rescued, they were happy. Amen. My wife and I, in our trip to Germany, visited the Dachau concentration camp. And some of the buildings were still up. The fence was up on the outside, and they had books, and you could learn about it. But they had ovens there, and that's where they burned the people. And that was just horrific. And when you think about that, it was liberated. The camp was liberated. And you see, again, the relief on people's faces, on these men, that some of them were barely able to walk, but they were free now. They were saved. They were rescued. And so we look at that in the carnal realm. There was a baby who spent 58 hours at the bottom of a well. Could you imagine that? You probably heard about this, but she's called baby Jessica. And can you imagine your baby 58 hours in a well and everybody's trying to figure out what to do? That's over 2 days in a well. You think about what the mother would think, or the father, or the people around. But when the baby came up, everybody was elated. They were thanking the rescuers. Wouldn't you thank the rescuers? I mean, if somebody did that for you, and the most precious thing in your life. There was a group of miners, 33 of them. They spent 68 days below the surface. This was at a mine in Chile. 68 days. That's 2.5 months. And they finally got rescued. The family was there. People were praying all the time. And finally, they broke through and they were able to bring them out. I don't know if you watched that. It's if you've never seen it, you ought to watch it. See the joy on people's faces, the relief, because they were saved. And that's in the physical realm. Amen? But what about the spiritual realm? And we're going to look at that a little bit today. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, Paul said this, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Now, you have to understand what's going on. A sinner, if he doesn't ask the Lord to forgive his sins and give him a home in heaven, not be born again, then he has to pay for the sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. It's not just the physical death, it's the second death. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. But Christ, when you come to Christ, all your sins are forgiven. The penalty is paid. Amen? The price of your soul has been met. And Jesus has done that for us. And why anyone would resist that, I don't understand. But here's the contrast. 2 Thessalonians 1:9. "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." That's verse 9. Verse 8 says, "In flaming fire and judging all those that know not God, nor that those that don't accept the gospel salvation." And so God has provided a plan for us. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 12 and verse 2. "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt." John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on you. And one more verse, John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. That's God's promise. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He's saved. He is rescued. Some people, there's a lot of people, don't know the results of rejecting Christ. They just go through life and they believe in a God and church is okay, but they've never accepted Christ as their Savior and they don't understand what the results of that would be. In Joel chapter 3 and verse 14, multitude, multitude in the valley of decision. There's a true story. I read this. You have to take my word for it, but there was a fire at an insane asylum. And the whole building was on fire, and it was sweeping through. And the firemen were there, and the rescuers were there. But many of the people there didn't understand what was going on. Some hid in closets. Some hid under the beds. And they would not let the rescuers carry them out. Although this place was going to be destroyed, they couldn't understand it. Had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord, but they did not know that. In our text, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And the Bible says in John chapter 3, you must be born again. Isaiah the prophet said, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. So we're glad to be saved today. Christians talk about it all the time. Man, I'm glad to be saved. Glad to have my sins forgiven. Think of the load, the burden that's off. That you know when you pass from this life to the next, you know you're going to be in heaven. And then you start studying about heaven, and you see how wonderful heaven's going to be. Amen? It's not like some of the movies or whatever, and don't get your doctrine off the television. Amen? Or the internet, you know. But anyway, you get it out of the Bible. John chapter 3 and verse 17. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. There's that word again. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, here's the part of the message I want to apply, because I'm here today because my wife got saved, and then she invited me to go to church, and she helped me to see that Christ was the Savior. I'll be forever grateful for that. Amen. And so we can reach our family. We can reach our friends. And we do that to help people. Amen. Because we want to rescue souls. And we'll see that as we go through the message. John chapter 17, verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, this is our Savior talking, even so have I also sent them into the world. John 15, 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And we talk about he that winneth souls is wise. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. He that winneth souls is wise. One of the songs we sing, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Isaiah the prophet said this in chapter 6 and verse 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I go and whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. He says, I'll go and preach the gospel. There were four men in Mark chapter 2, and they were bringing their friend who could not walk. They were bringing him on a bed to see the Lord. The house that the Lord was in was packed with people. So they said, let's put him up on the roof and tear the roof off. That's exactly what they did. And so here's four men in concert, letting a man go down to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was healed. He was saved. What a blessing that is. And when you think about that, I wonder whose idea that was. Maybe one of the guys came up with it and he said, hey, will you give me a hand? Amen. And God bless the guy that came up with that idea. Remember the four lepers in the Old Testament? I think it's 2 Kings 7. And they were outside the city. The city people wouldn't let them in because they were lepers. They were dying of starvation, so they went out to the camp of the enemy. God scattered the enemy. They were all gone, but they left all the food. And here these four lepers are, and they're eating the food. And then they said, we do not well this day. Look at all that we have, but everybody in the city is starving. We need to go tell them where the food is. I think that's a blessing. Amen? And so we're in church. I'm happy. I'm real happy. I'm happy for the cake too. Amen? But there's a lot of things I'm happy for today. But when you think about eternity, I'm really happy about eternity. And I've not only experienced what the Bible says about the peace and the joy and all of that comfort that you get from just knowing that, being assured of that. We'll look at that in Sunday school today. But it's so, so important. And here we are together, but you know, there's a whole world out there that doesn't know the Lord. And we try and tell people about it. It says in Mark chapter 2 and verse 4, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay, and then God was able to heal him. We have Mark chapter 5, the story of the maniac of Gadara. And nobody could tame him. They bound him, and he broke the chains, and he ran naked in the tombs, and everybody was afraid of him in the town. And the Bible says that the Lord came by. And the Lord, it says in verse 19, after he got saved, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Now he's in his right mind. Now he's clothed. Now he's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Something really happened to him. I mean, it's night and day, amen, when you get saved. Recently, I brought a message on the blind man and how he benefited from the Lord healing him, giving him back his sight. But in John chapter 9 and verse 11, somebody said, who did this for you? And he said, a man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. That's exactly what happened. Sometimes you think you have to know a lot of Bible to witness to somebody. You just tell them what happened to you. Amen? Maybe you went to church. Maybe you heard a gospel message. That maybe you went forward in a service. Maybe somebody talked to you afterwards. Maybe you were driving down the road. I had a missionary out of our church, a missionary to Africa, and then he went to Russia, and then he went to Alaska, missionary in all those places. And he was pretty wild, and he got saved. He was a welder. He got saved at work. Somebody gave him a tract. He took his hood off, read it, and accepted Christ as his Savior. So just tell the story. Amen? And that's what the blind man did. We have in John chapter 1, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, it says, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we found the Messiah, which being interpreted is the Christ. And then the next verse says, and he brought him to Jesus. That's what we have to be concerned about. Amen? Help feed the poor if you want. That's a good thing to do. Be good to your neighbors. Be a blessing in church, but win people to Christ. Take the gospel to them. I wish everybody in the community could come here, but they're not going to. We have to go to everybody in the community. We have in John chapter 4, the woman at the well, and she finally accepted the Lord, and then she said, come see a man which told me all things whatsoever I did. Is not this the Christ? And the whole village, the whole city came out to see the Lord. It's just a testimony. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 15, how shall they preach except they be sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. It's a picture. So our feet, we go with those, and we go and we take the gospel. Ephesians 6:15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And the verses are just endless. Take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. The individual message for every Christian is to share their faith. There's nothing more important in this life than you can do than to win somebody to the Lord or to show them how to be saved. And then God does the work. God will use people in concert. God may use you in one part of their life and use somebody else in another part of their life. But this is what the Lord said in Luke chapter 14. We'll begin reading in verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many. Now this is the parable of the great supper. And he sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore cannot come. So the servant came and showed his lord all these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly in the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out quickly into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. And so we do that. We invite people, and we hear the excuses. Sunday's my only day to sleep in. Amen. Have you ever heard that one? Or, you know, all the different excuses. There's a zillion of them. Rather than come to the feast that the Master has prepared. And when we come to church, it's the Word of God. It's the bread from heaven. Amen. The Word is so powerful, and it's so free, and it's so helpful. And the Word is given out, and we invite people to this. You know, you can invite somebody to come Thanksgiving where we cook the turkeys, and people will come for that. But if we say, man, there's going to be a great Bible message, well, I don't think I can make it that Sunday, you know. And yet, here's the spiritual that is so good and so powerful, the riches of His grace, so freely given, so life-changing. And it's our responsibility to do that. Out in the desert, hear their cry, out on the mountains wild and high. Hark, 'tis the Master speaks to thee. Go find my sheep where'er they be. Where'er they be. Such a blessing. There's a story in the Bible about a woman with an issue of blood. And just go back a little bit to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, just read a few verses here. The story of the woman with an issue of blood. Mark chapter 5, we'll start in verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of the Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And then he had some dialogue with her. The point I'm making is when she touched him, virtue went out of him. He had something to give her. We're not talking about something physical. We're not talking about something financial or like that. We're talking about something spiritual. And what a blessing it was. Virtue had gone out. Why did God send his son into this world? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why did Jesus die on the cross? He died to pay the penalty of our sin and to freely offer us the difference there. Why is the history of the church one of persecution and martyrdom? Great suffering, because that's what the price the people had to pay to have other people saved. Why are the scriptures filled with stories of people coming to Christ? In Mark chapter 5, you have a story of healing and help. It's because the Lord had something to offer. Amen? He had something to offer that was spiritual and powerful. When Jesus was touched by this woman, virtue went out. Virtue is moral goodness, spiritual strength, which comes from a deep love. He had the power to do that. Jesus is the source of salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's the source of that. He's the source of wisdom. Amen. He's the source of peace. He's the source of comfort. He's called the God of all comfort. But we have to have something to give people. And so we give them the words of the Lord, which are powerful. Amen. We give them a good spirit. Somebody said about the Savior, when you cut him, he bleeds grace. When you cut him, he bleeds grace. And that's exactly what they nailed him to a cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. Some people, when you cut them, out comes contempt. Out comes pride. Out comes criticism. Not so with Jesus. Amen. And when we give the gospel out, it's an invitation. It's not to hurt anybody. We're to use sharpness for edification and not for destruction. We want something inside of us that can be given to people. If the God of all comfort, who is able to comfort you in all your tribulations, that you may be able to comfort anybody that needs it with the same comfort you're comforted by God. He gives mercy to us, amen? And so we are merciful to people because he was merciful to us. We speak the truth in love to people because everybody needs that. Acts chapter 11, verse 24, speaks about Barnabas. For he was a good man and filled with the Holy Ghost, and much people were added to the church. Why? He's a good man. Remember when he and the Apostle Paul went with John Mark? They went on a missionary journey, and John Mark quit. He just quit. He went. He left. And so they're getting ready to go on another journey. And the Bible says the contention was so sharp between them that Paul said, I'm going to take Silas and go this way. And Barnabas says, I'll take John Mark. Barnabas means consolation, son of consolation. And we find later in Paul's ministry, he said, bring Mark, for he's profitable to me for the ministry. There was a man that was gracious and merciful and kind, and he mentored John Mark. John Mark had quit, but he didn't give up on him. Amen. Don't give up on anybody. Take the right spirit and try and help people. When Stephen preached his great message in Acts chapter 7, one of the greatest sermons you'll ever read, and you come to the end of the chapter, and the Bible says, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Lay not this sin to their charge. Gave his life for the Lord. The Lord told him to preach that message. Amen. He knew what was going to happen, and he saw it happening. He felt it. But there was a man there by the name of Saul of Tarsus, and he was observing this whole thing. In the previous chapter, the Bible says about Stephen, he had the face of an angel. All Stephen wanted to do was get the message of God out so people could be saved. But he was stoned to death, killed. In Acts chapter 9, Saul of Tarsus couldn't get over that, and he accepted Christ in Acts chapter 9, and God changed his name to the Apostle Paul. Amen. And he went everywhere preaching the word of God. When you get saved, your life changes. Amen. You are thrilled to be forgiven. What a blessing that is. Amen. You're thrilled to have a home in heaven. And it comforts you all the time, the comfort of the scriptures. And now you look at people differently. Amen. You look at them like they need the Lord. And boy, what a blessing that would be to them. Some of my dearest friends in this life are those who I've led to the Lord or had a part in their salvation, or they came forward in a service and got saved. There's a connection there because you're helping people for all eternity. I think that's such a blessing. You are an instrument of God. You're a messenger, an ambassador, an example, even a walking Bible. All of those are scriptural truths. In Luke chapter 9, James and John are with the Lord, and the people are not receiving the Lord's word. And so James and John says, call down fire from heaven. You know, just do it like Moses did. You know, he called down fire from heaven, burn everybody up. And Jesus responded by this in verse 55. He turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Jesus came to save. Amen. Sometimes we're all worried about all these circumstances in life when God's purpose for us are to win people to the Lord, to have a right spirit. We are instruments of God. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. I want to read this short story. I think it'll be a blessing to you. The acrid smoke stung Maya's eyes as she stumbled through the dark, disoriented hallway, the flames licking at the edges of her vision. She had been sound asleep when the fire alarm blared, but the smoke had already filled her small apartment, leaving her with no clear escape route. Panic gnawed at her as she frantically tried to find the door, her hands brushing against scorching walls. Just when she thought she couldn't breathe anymore, a voice cut through the chaos. "Ma'am, are you in there?" A firefighter, his silhouette barely visible through the smoke, was at her door. Relief flooded Maya as she weakly called out, "I'm here." The firefighter, his face masked and eyes determined, helped her to her feet and guided her through the inferno, shielding her body with his own. They crawled through the smoke-filled corridor, the heat intense against their skin. Maya could hear the roar of the flames behind them and the sound of the sirens growing closer. As they finally reached the stairwell, the firefighter urged her to cough forcefully, clearing her airways. She could barely see, but she felt the cool air of the stairwell as they descended, each step a step closer to safety. On the first floor, the firefighter gently lowered her to the ground, where paramedics rushed to her side, administering oxygen. She was shaken, her clothes singed but alive. As she lay on the stretcher, watching the firefighters battling the blaze from her apartment building, she couldn't help but feel an overwhelming sense of gratitude for the bravery of the man who had pulled her from the flames, a stranger who had risked his life to save hers. To her, that firefighter was a hero. Amen. It wasn't just an occupation for him. He was a saver of lives. He was a rescuer. And we take that and we translate that into the spiritual realm, which is much more important than the physical. Amen. The physical, you die, that's the end of your life. But the spiritual, nobody is going to cease to exist. The Bible says in Jude 23, "And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Turn in your Bibles to the last couple chapters of the Bible, Revelation 21. We'll look there. Revelation 21. People need the Lord. Amen. These are not popular subjects, but they are reality. Amen. There's a heaven and there's a hell. If we accept Christ, we go to heaven. We live with Him forever. If we reject Christ, we go to hell. And it talks about eternity. Let's look at verse 11 of chapter 20. "And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." The book of life is talked about in the gospel, or in the epistles. That's accepting Christ as Savior. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." That's the great white throne judgment. For the Christian, we will stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, not to be judged for eternity to go to heaven or hell, but just for our works. And one of these days, that's going to take place, and then we'll be forever with the Lord. That's earlier. This is chapter 20. This is the great white throne judgment. This is the final judgment. And then we have chapter 21. This is what follows. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That follows that judgment. I don't know if you can picture this. I have tried to do it. I can see it, but my mind won't comprehend how bad it will be. But to see a loved one of yours cast into the lake of fire, or a friend, a neighbor who you've lived beside, or you worked with, fellow worker for years and never gave them the gospel. One day they're going to stand before God. That's what the scripture says. Not a popular subject. Amen. A lot of people try to discredit and discount these verses. But one day we're going to be with the Lord. I'm assured of that, and I'll show that as we study assurance of salvation in the next hour. I'm sure of that. I do not have that fear. I do not have that broken heart about that. But what I do have a fear about and a broken heart about is those that will not receive Christ as their Savior. But there are so many that have never even heard. God has put you in the neighborhood you're in, the work you're in, the store you go into. You can give a tract. Amen? I mean, that's what this is all about. You know, come to church. Okay, we'll learn about the grace of God. We learn about prophecy. Okay, yeah, we're seeing prophecy today. Okay, those are exciting things. But the work of God is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen? To every creature. That is the work of the church. In John, or in Luke chapter 10, there's the story of the man that was beaten and robbed and left for dead. And there's somebody that passed by on the other side of the road and said, I'm not going to be involved in that. Then there was another person that passed by and said, I'm not going to help him. But there was a good Samaritan, and he went to where he was, and he helped him. He put him on his own beast. He took him to an inn. He paid for it. And he said, when I come back, if he owes you any more, I'll pay it. And Jesus said, go and do thou likewise. And the picture is, there's people out there that are lost. Amen? They're lost. They don't know the Lord. How are they going to find out? Well, somebody, I'm sure they have a relative. I'm sure they have a neighbor. I'm sure somebody from a church will go there. That's what he called us to do. That's our responsibility. Have you ever read in Ezekiel chapter 3 and chapter 33 that the wicked will pay for his iniquity? He will die, but his blood will be on your hands. You can read both of those texts, Ezekiel 3 and 33. But think of this. Think of the Apostle Paul and the people that were saved. Think of, have you ever won anybody to the Lord? That should be a normal thing for Christians to do. Amen? And if you've never won somebody, just keep giving out the gospel, because God will give you souls. He will do that. He will put people in your way. Philip went from great revival in Samaria to the backside of the desert. What am I doing here? And the Ethiopian eunuch was there, and God brought them together. Amen? Because the providence of God is at work. All you have to be is willing. I being in the way, the Lord led me, Abraham's servant said. Just be in the way. Come to church. Get challenged. See what the Bible says. Learn the Bible. We've been memorizing Scripture. Why have we been memorizing Scripture in Sunday school? So we can use it to win somebody to Christ. Amen? So we can use it to fight against Satan. It's so important for us to give the gospel out. People need to be saved. Go and do thou likewise. Amen? Boy, what we could do. One person gets somebody saved, now there's two people saved. If they each get somebody saved, now you have four people saved. They each get somebody saved, you have eight. You know where I'm going with this. But I can't count so very high, so 8 people get saved and bring somebody to Christ. Now that's 16, 32, 64. I'm stopping there. But I mean, it's God's plan. Amen. Why would we not do it? Why would we not share the gospel, at least with a track? Amen. At least with the, why don't you join me? Why don't you come to church? Why don't you just see what this is all about? I'm saved. The whole world needs to be saved. And may God use me, continue to use me. I'm like one of the four, letting the man down. Who will help me? Let's build a church. Let's get people saved. Let's share our gospel message. That's why Jesus died. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus as your Savior, but you want to, you want to have your sins forgiven, you want to have a home in heaven, it's so easy. Listen to the verse. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All you have to do is call on Him and ask Him to save you. We're all sinners. We all need a Savior. If you're here and you're like that, why don't you pray this prayer with me? You don't have to say it out loud. God will hear the prayer of your heart. Just say something like this. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I believe that. Thank You for dying on a cross for my sin. Thank You for paying the penalty. Jesus, forgive me. Give me a home in heaven when I die. I believe You're the Son of God. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.